You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Now, if you're here for the first time or you're tuning in for the first time, then what you won't know, it's not that emotional, I just had something in my throat. What you won't know is that this is actually week five of a series that we've been doing here at Audacious Church called Summer Unlocked. We are literally on the precipice of September. Some of you are applauding that I used a three-syllable word. Thanks for that. We're right on the edge of a reset, a new season, the next phase for many of us in our lives. And so for the last 5 weeks, we've been sort of almost like a long jumper. We've been like taking steps, picking up speed, ready to go into all that God has for us. It's been absolutely fantastic. And today I want to finish the series, really wrapping up everything we've talked about with a message about purpose. Purpose. Let me read this verse to you. I know that you're still stood, most of you, and you're thinking, he forgot. I didn't forget. I want you to remain standing just until I've read this Bible verse, and then you can sit down. If you're currently sat down and you can stand up, just feel free to sheepishly just kind of go, oh, should have stayed standing and no problem. But I want to read this verse to you. It's a key verse. It's only short. And Pastor Mark, my friend over here, always makes fun of me because he says that I get this verse into every preach I ever make. And when we're planning our sermons, I say, I've got a verse. And Foz rolls his eyes and goes, yeah, we know you like the verse in Proverbs. Well, here it is. And I'm allowed to because I've got the mic. It says this. It says, Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this moment that we have in your house, in your presence. For those watching online, for those in one of our locations, and for those in this room, right now we choose to open up our hearts to you. The ears of our spirit were tuning in to hear your voice because we know that a moment with you changes everything. And so God, would you speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, before you sit down, give someone near you a wave, a high five. Feel free to give them a cuddle like Alex and Ethan did, possibly not as awkward as that, and then take your seats. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Just for everybody, a bit of an update or a message from Pastor Glynn. He is still recovering. Him and Sophia aren't here this week, but he texted me to tell you that he will be back next week. Pastor Glynn and Sophia back next week. Also, big shout out to any of those that are part of our North and South location. We have services in North Manchester, South Manchester, here, of course, in Central. Our campus over in Chester is happening right now. Let's just give all of the Audacious Church family just like a bit of encouragement. Go on, lads, and girls also. Do you remember when you were a kid and it was an accident was your ultimate get out clause? Come on, you spill something when you're a kid and it ruins the carpet you've always got up your sleeve. Wasn't my fault, it was an accident. Now, as a kid, that's a genius get-out clause, but as a parent, it is the most annoying thing ever. In our house, when something happens, there's an incident. Could you just do air quotations with me? There's an incident. Come on, you're watching online. I'm sure there's an emoji that you can put in the chat that is this. There's an incident in my house. There's nothing more frustrating than the conversation moving from, is this person hurt or injured, to whose fault is it? You walk in and my daughter is there with, you know, blood coming out of her eyeball, and my son will be going, wasn't my fault, wasn't me. I'm like, I don't care whose fault it is, she's bleeding. That is an exaggeration for all of those watching with concern. She's never bled from the eye. But it's like the ultimate get out clause, doing something by accident versus doing something on purpose. like changes everything. If you don't believe me, try this next time you change lanes on the motorway without indicating. And the car behind you beeps and comes up beside you. Try these two different reactions. Here's the first one by accident. Perhaps keep your hands on the steering wheel, at least one. Honestly, the most angriest of drivers are completely disarmed by, it wasn't my fault, it was just an accident, I'm really sorry. It's why the Bible says in Proverbs that a harsh word stirs up anger. But the opposite, this is where we're moving to the Paul Reed version, because I can't remember how it worded. I'll tell you, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, the same scenario, you pull out in front of someone, they beep, they come up next to you, try going like this. Give it the old Liam Gallagher while you're driving and see the difference that it makes. Now, that's a negative sense, but what I need you to understand is that purpose changes everything. Purpose is so powerful because it answers the question, why? Why did you do that? Or why is this happening? Or what's the point of this? Is answered by purpose. What's the point in this table? Is answered by the purpose of the table. It's holding my notes. It looks nice. It is what it is. Purpose changes everything. Do me a favor. I know that in this service so far, we've been a little bit stand up, sit down, keep moving. But I want to ask you just one more time, sorry, just to stand to your feet. Because I want everybody to put your hand, right? Put your hand on your heart, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine yourself doing what you were born to do. Okay, have a think now. For some of you, something comes to mind straight away. You know exactly what your purpose is, and now you're imagining it. You're possibly remembering it. Maybe you've never experienced it, but now you're dreaming. Come on, is there any dreamers in Audacious Church who can imagine the day when you step into all that God's got for you and you do what you were born for? I'm talking David Beckham, free kick, Old Trafford, that kind of purpose. I'm talking Michael Jordan, three-point shot on the buzzer for the Chicago Bulls. Okay, let me bring it home a little bit. I'm talking Pastor Glynn in our new building, packed with people, preaching on enthusiasm. I'm talking about, where's Pastor Matt Blackwell leading worship? It's something about when you're doing your purpose, when you're fulfilling the purpose of God for your life, that once you've tasted it, gosh, you're hungry for it after that. And you'll do everything you can to taste it again. Take your seats. Purpose is so powerful that it is actually opposed. Purpose is so powerful that it's actually opposed. The Bible says that the devil describes him as the enemy of our soul. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You see, the enemy knows how powerful your purpose is. And as much as you may not even feel like you have a purpose, or you may not know what it is, God created you to live your life on purpose. On purpose. In Ephesians 6, the Bible says for us to use the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, how many people know arrows are only ever aimed at the bullseye? And so if you receive or experience opposition in your life, it's not necessarily that you're in the wrong place, it's that you're in the right place. Because you wouldn't be getting arrows fired at you, arrows of opposition, if you weren't right in the bullseye of where God wants you to be. When you live on the fringes of purpose, kind of, you know, in and out a little bit, kind of believing God, but, you know, it doesn't really affect my life. Or one week I'm just like fully in love with Jesus and next week I'm kind of like take it or leave it. Then you don't really get opposition from the enemy. But when, church, we step into the bullseye of the purpose of God for our lives, there are some opponents. And I think it would be good, before we pray in just 5 or 10 minutes, I think it would be good for us to maybe call out, identify some of these opponents to our purpose, so that we can recognize them as strategies or tricks, if you like, from the enemy that actually are sent to take us away from our purpose. And it is my prayer. It is the prayer of the leadership of this church. We've been talking about this church like a community or a family. One of our family values is that every single person, from the youngest to the oldest, from the sort of charismatic jazz hands people like me, to the more quieter, don't need the attention type people like some of you, right? From everywhere in between, it is God's will that we live our life, not by accident, not saying, well, it's not my fault, but actually living life on purpose. Here's one of the opponents to your purpose in your life. One of the things that is sent to stop you living on purpose is quite simply the distraction of your circumstances, the distraction of your circumstances. You see, these opponents, they're not always obvious. They don't come with a notification on your phone. You're about to be opposed by the enemy. There's no warning, but in actual fact, our circumstances can become an opponent to our purpose, because when things don't work out how we expected, or when things don't work out how we wanted, it can cause us to feel out of control. And so in order to insulate or to take back control, we go into what I call survival mode. And over the last 12 months, 18 months, how many of our circumstances have been completely out of our control? People have lost their jobs. People have lost their loved ones. People have been forced out of control by a global pandemic and other issues. And so what many of us do in an attempt to get control back is we go into survival mode. Now, survival mode sounds noble. I'm a born survivor, people say. But the truth is, you weren't born to survive. You were born for purpose. You were born for discovering the purpose of God in your life. You see, survival mode will turn inspiration into intimidation. And the things that used to inspire you now intimidate you. And it's not because they've changed, it's because we've gone into survival mode. Survival mode changes conviction, like, this is what I believe, to compromise. Like, well, you know, I've just got to do what I need to do to survive. I know I would never have said that or gone there or been that way, but, you know, I'm just trying to get through the day. It changes opportunity to hard work. Whereas before survival mode, you might say, look at this opportunity from God. But when you're in survival mode, you're going, how much is this going to cost me? How much time is this going to do? I don't know if I can cope with what I'm doing right now. So how do we overcome our circumstances? Well, I'm glad you asked, Audacious Church. If you're thinking I didn't, then I'm going to tell you anyway. In week two of this series here in central Manchester, I know we've done different messages in different locations, but in week two here in Manchester, Pastor Johnny spoke a message about encounter. It was called Encounter Unlocked. And he described his personal circumstances at the loss of his mother. And the kind of message came to a crescendo when he said, there's nothing like a God encounter to slap you out of your circumstances, lift you up and set you on higher ground. Doesn't mean your circumstances change necessarily. Doesn't mean that, we live in denial. But what happens is with a God encounter, we can actually stand above our circumstances and say, I am going to get back to living on purpose. Here's another one. Another opponent to your purpose is quite simply the focus of your attention, Did you know that your attention is a precious commodity and it is transacted with all the time? The first time your attention is transacted with is when it is stolen. Did you ever have your attention stolen? You see, attention goes through these three phases. It's stolen, it's given, it's paid. Let me explain. Boys, when she walks in the room for the first time, and you see her, you could be doing anything, but she steals your attention. From that moment on, she has your attention And so you move into the second phase of giving your attention. And so maybe you start dating this girl and you freely give her your attention and you freely buy her gifts and you give her your attention. But a relationship gets to a certain point when giving attention is not enough because you change your mind and your attention is stolen by something else. And so therefore you move into the third phase, which is pay attention. In other words, it costs you something to give your attention to that girl. And that's not just true in relationships, it's true in our lives. It's easy for our attention to be stolen by something. And so then we give our attention. And then in order for us to remain focused on that thing, we then have to pay attention, which means it costs something. And again, the last 12 months, 18 months, our attention has been stolen. There's been so many great causes that have kind of been brought to the surface in our society. And it's they're all good causes, global warming and environmental issues, justice issues. And we've had people protesting on the streets. We've had people protesting about the fact that they're not allowed to protest. And it's easy for us to be kind of go from one thing to the next and actually forget the main thing that God has called us to do. Now, the cause that you're passionate about may be wrapped up in the purpose that God has for you, but I wanted to get everybody to take just 10 seconds to think, what is the main thing? The Bible says in 1 Samuel that David, you know David, right? King David, shepherd boy David, giant killer David, he was in a dark place, not just emotionally, but physically, because he was in a cave. And the Bible says that all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him and he became their commander. Now, David's purpose was to be the king. And yet in this dark place, he became the commander in other causes. They weren't bad or evil or wrong. They were good causes. These were good people. But yet it was taking David away from the main thing, which was to be the king. It took him away from his journey. And how do you overcome your attention being stolen by this and stolen by that and stolen by the other? Well, in week one of this series here in Manchester, Pastor Mark preached a message called Praise Unlocked. You see, there is nothing like a sacrifice of praise to get your focus back on God, on the main thing. You see, the Bible says, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, in other words, if you give your attention to the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. What we do is pursue the desires of our heart and neglect to give our attention to the King. This is so powerful for us to do, that we recognize that a sacrifice of praise that's not about my preference, that's not about my personality, that's not about who's leading worship or what songs we're singing, but in actual fact, it is a decision on the way to church, a decision on the way to online church where you say, I will praise God. Isolation is another opponent to purpose. There's a pseudo security that comes from only having to think about yourself. I'm not talking about being selfish, because it sounds selfish only thinking about yourself, but something that isolation has done for many of us over the last 12 months has forced us to get familiar with the comfort that comes from knowing all you have to think about is just what you are doing. And this is not what we were born for. In week three, week before last, when did Pastor Lee preach here? 2 weeks ago. So week three of Summer Unlocked, Pastor Lee talked about proximity unlocked. If you haven't listened to it, go back and watch on YouTube. He talked about the pins to burst the bubble of isolation. And I would just love you guys to take that message on board, because the way to overcome isolation is proximity. If you're here for the first time, you're probably thinking, what were those lads doing with red shorts on, long white socks, and a headband? Like, what was all that about? They were chanting something, C2C. You're probably thinking, what is all that about? Well, I tell you, about 10, 11 weeks ago, we recognized as a church that it is not easy to go from the couch, isolation, just you, living your own life, just you, your little circle, to actually what we were born for, the purpose of God in community. It actually is not that easy. And so we said, how can we break it down into bite-sized little chunks that's going to help people go from being in isolation to Pastor Lee's message 2 weeks ago, being in proximity? And so we broke it down and we had things like call somebody and text somebody and maybe meet somebody and go for a walk. And we've been walking through this thing, and you probably right now thinking, oh, that's what that's all been about. Well, I'm telling you, couch to community is just one of many things that we're doing to try and help you. Here's another opponent, offense. The comfort of my offense. On the 18th of September, it's a Saturday, we're doing a course here, 3 sessions on a Saturday, called Extraordinary Freedom. And the reason why we're doing that is because the Bible says that it was for freedom that Christ set us free, suggesting that we can be free but not live in freedom. Sounds like it's kind of a weird use of the language for the Bible to say it is for freedom that you were set free, but it's God recognizing that it's easy for us to be set free but not live in freedom. Like the jail cell is open, the chains are off, but we remain restricted. And one of the things that does that is offense. There are people in this service, I know, because when I was praying about this message, I felt God speak to me. There are people in this service, either watching online or in this room, and you are offended. It's not a sin. I'm not judging you or chastising you in some way, but I'm telling you now, the only way you can overcome offense is a powerful word that has been extended to you by God. And so therefore you have the power to get back to living life on purpose by extending the same thing to someone else. It's called forgiveness. God forgave you, so you are able to forgive. And there's some of you, and you, the fog of offense means that when I said, put your hand on your heart and imagine doing what you were born for, you couldn't even see it. Perhaps you used to know it, but it's kind of got muddy because you're offended in your heart. And you now think, well, I thought that's what I was born for. I thought that's what God wanted me to do. I thought that was my purpose, but this thing happened to me. This person said this about me. This set of circumstances let me down. The last one, and I'm going to ask you guys to stand in just 1 minute. The final opponent to your purpose is the underwhelming nature of your ordinary. The underwhelming nature of your ordinary. You see, when we see someone else living out their purpose, it looks so awesome. I described those moments, didn't have free kicks and world records being broken. And you think about our Abigail Irozaru who went to Team GB, and you kind of think about their purpose and you're like, that's worthy of Instagram. Whereas mine just, like, my life just feels ordinary. This could be my purpose, but no one's cheering me. No one's celebrating me when I just choose to put God first and raise my children in a home where God is the center and put God first in my finance and try and have a good heart and a good attitude, try and spend time with God. Like, no one's cheering me. It's an incredible story, which I don't have time to go into, but some of you may know it, about a great man who was celebrated all over for being a great leader. His name was Naaman. But the Bible says, even though he was a great leader, he was sick. He had a skin disease. And it was degenerative, it was getting worse. And so he reached out to the prophet, and the prophet sent a message and said, if you want to be healed, you have to just go to the Jordan River and just dip 7 times in the river. And he was so offended by the ordinary nature. And he's sulking inside saying, I thought he would at least come to my house. I thought he would at least come with trumpets and a fanfare and a band and say, here we are to heal you. He just sent a message and I have to go to the dirty river out the back. And a servant came to him and said, if what he asked you to do was great, then you would do it. But because it's just ordinary, you're going to miss out on the miracle. And he was like, What am I doing? And as everyone stands in this room right now, come on, stand to your feet. If you're watching online, would you do something to change your position? Switch couches, sit up, stand up, kneel down. But I'm praying and believing that as we go into this time of worship together, that you have a moment like Naaman, where you go, what am I doing? It's time to get back to life on purpose. Where you go, just like King David in the cave, gets a message from the prophet Gad who says, do not stay in the stronghold, go to Judah. Judah means praise. And you may have felt like you've been in a cave. You may have felt like you've been in a dark place or a lonely place. But right now on the 29th of August, on the edge of September, it's time for us to get back to life on purpose. How do we do it? How do we activate joy and proximity and praise and all of these things we've been talking about for the last few weeks? How do we do that? Well, the key is in the verse right at the start of this message, where it said, many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. You don't need to worry about the purpose necessarily, making it happen, even working it out. What we have to do is come up with many plans. And I don't know what your plan has been during lockdown. I don't know what your plan has been during isolation. I don't know what your plan has been, but it's time for a new plan. It's time for us to make a new plan to actually be a person who lives tuned into the voice of God, who recognizes that you were born for more than just existing. You were born for more than just attending, but you were born to live a life on purpose that rises above your circumstances.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.